Tonight, the FCC chairman on net neutrality, take two. Twitter's stock plunges loads of wearables. And is drone footage of tornado damage legal? Tech News Tonight is next.
This is Twit.
This is Tech News Tonight, episode 76 for Tuesday, April 29th, 2014. I'm Sarah Lane, and let's get right into the tech feed. FCC Chairman Tom Wheeler has published a new blog post titled "Finding the Best Path Forward to Protect the Open Internet" in response to last week's uproar regarding net neutrality. Wheeler addresses many of the concerns about the proposed rules, as well as lack of competition between broadband providers and interconnect deals between streaming services like Netflix and ISPs. Wheeler claims all options are on the table, including reclassifying internet providers so that they can be regulated like phone companies. The FCC goes in front of the House Commerce Subcommittee on Communications on May 20th. Well, Twitter's earnings report did not please the market. Although revenue of $250 million beat expectations, the company's stock fell as much as 11% in after-hours trading. Monthly active users climbed to 255 million, up from 241 million the previous quarter, but analysts were looking for 257 million amidst worries of slowing growth. CEO Dick Costolo said on the earnings call that he was really happy with engagement in Q1. Favorites and retweets were up 26% in the quarter, and Costolo says that new users are just as engaged as older users. He also pointed to MoPub, Twitter's mobile ad network, that reaches 1 billion users across iOS and Android devices. We'll see how the market looks tomorrow. Apple updated its MacBook Air lineup this morning with updated Intel Haswell processors and price cuts of $100 on all models. The 11 and 13-inch MacBook Air models have been bumped up to a 1.4 gigahertz dual-core Intel Core i5 processor with 4 gigabytes of RAM, and either 128 gigabytes or 256 gigabytes of storage, plus improved battery life. That's a nice bump. Baseline 11 and 13-inch MacBook Airs are priced at $899 and $999, respectively. High-end base configurations sit at $1,099 and $1,199. All models are available today in retail locations and on Apple's online store with expected shipping availability within 24 hours. But hey, who needs laptops when you can have an iWatch? Which we don't have, actually, at all. But supposedly it's in production, according to sources speaking with the China Times. The wearable is said to take advantage of a manufacturing process called system-in-package, which is sort of like system-on-a-chip processor, except it's for the entire device. The so-called iWatch could ship about 2.5 to 3 million units in the second quarter of this year, according to supply chain sources, and ship up to 15 million units by the end of Q3 2014. We also heard this last year. We're on a wearables roll now. So at a press conference in New York, Acer showed off the Liquid Leap, a 17 millimeter thick smart band that's both a fitness tracker and a smartwatch. It'll offer text and call notifications. The band may also be bundled with the upcoming Liquid Jade smartphone and should get about 5 days of use from the band's battery. Acer expects units to ship in late July or August. A new wearable ring, yeah, we're not stopping, called Nod is available for pre-order starting today, and it's billing itself as a Bluetooth gesture controller for everything. It supports Mac and Windows desktops, iOS and Android devices, Nest thermostats, Hue lighting systems, even Google Glass. If your device doesn't have Bluetooth, Nod will connect to your smartphone and then connect to that Bluetooth-less device via Wi-Fi, so it really works with a lot of stuff. Nod's flat underside has a capacitive touch panel and small buttons, program-specific functions for these controls, and then you can use them with your third-party apps. Nod acts like a cursor and responds to gestures, movements, and physical commands. So if it sounds like your kind of ring, that will be $149, please, and it should ship this fall. Now, Amazon hasn't launched its own wearable device yet, but it did just launch a web storefront dedicated to smartwatches, activity cameras, wearables, and other technology in that same category. The store includes products from Samsung, GoPro, Jawbone, the big guys, and smaller emerging brands, including Misfit and Narrative. No Google Glass, though. Not a big surprise there. The Information is reporting that Google does have a so-called Silver program in the works, reported originally in early April by Android Police. Silver is about gaining more control over the Android ecosystem and building a Nexus-style program with the potential to reach a wider number of the buying public through incentive-driven partnerships with carriers and OEMs. The Information reports that incentives include indirect payments, with up to $1 billion in spending on promoting Silver devices through ad campaigns and in-store displays and kiosks with employees that are trained by Google. Silver devices will also get more timely Android updates like Nexus hardware. Coming up, MIT students want to hand out bitcoins to all. But first, I am joined by Eric Mack, contributor over at CNET, Forbes, and Gizmag. Hey, Eric.
How you doing? I've got my wearable, so we're good to go.
Yeah, which one is that?
It's We Things or Why Things. I don't know how you pronounce it. The O2 one that measures your blood oxygen level. So far, so good.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. And it's a very nice shade of purple.
Thank you.
All right. Enough about wearables. I don't know. Maybe people will be wearing drones eventually. You have an article on CNET. It's fascinating, really. Get a drone's eye view of Arkansas tornado aftermath. Now, this is footage shot from a drone, and it's really quite soon after a tornado actually touched down in Mayflower, Arkansas. You can see extensive damage. Cameraman and a storm chaser shot it. We can see emergency vehicles. Rescues look to be underway. You can see people look like they're moving around with flashlights and debris. Who shot this?
So this was actually shot by a storm chaser and photographer out of Arkansas. I believe his name is Brian Emfinger. I might have that wrong, but I think that's what it was. And it's really amazing stuff because, he's just flying a small drone with, I believe, 5-inch propellers with a video camera strapped to it. But it can get so close, so much closer than you would get with like your basic news station helicopter. Like you said, right there, you can see the actual flashlight. You can see the people digging through the rubble, and you can get all sorts of different vantage points, whereas normally you just have a news helicopter that's much higher up with kind of one angle that it can offer.
So the FAA is investigating this, though. Why is that?
So the deal with drones right now is that they're still working out the regulations, the FAA is. And so at the moment, commercial drone use is prohibited, and that apparently the FAA's definition includes reporting as a commercial use. So, there was a report out of Arkansas today that the FAA is now investigating this particular case. And it's not the first time, actually, that, some fairly harmless uses of drones have been slapped by the FAA. There was a company out of Wisconsin that did just kind of a goofy commercial where they took a six-pack of beer and they delivered it via drone out to some folks ice fishing on a frozen lake in Wisconsin, and the FAA didn't like that either.
Well, so what happens to these photographers? Let's say that the FAA considers this illegal. Not they weren't supposed to do it. What happens?
So in this particular case, it could be up to a $10,000 fine, which obviously could lead to, some court cases. Who knows? We have a pretty strong First Amendment here. So I'd like to think that if it went to that, that courts would find in favor, at least of the reporting use. I don't know about the beer drone thing so much. And I've actually considered uses of drones myself and decided against it. For torture testing devices for, some stories that we run on CNET. I wanted to take a drone and strap a one of those indestructible type smartphones to it and actually drop it off. We have the Rio Grande Gorge here that's 1,000 feet deep. So I was hoping to be able to fly a drone over the gorge and then drop a phone 1,000 feet into the river and see how it does. But then kind of decided against that for legal reasons and, didn't want to give a kayaker a concussion or anything.
So. I would have to think if legal battles started opening up because of these types of situations, maybe there could be exceptions during disaster areas if something was declared a state of emergency. What do you think?
I mean, I would think so. I mean, what's pretty crazy with the way that the rules are set up right now, and the FAA will say, well, we're working on it. There will be more comprehensive rules coming out in the coming years. But the way it's set up right now is that, personal drone use is fine. So I can take a drone out to the park and then maybe fly it over the neighbor's yard and like actually spy on my neighbor a little bit. And I'm not going to get slapped on the wrist for that, most likely. But to use a drone in the public interest in like a disaster scenario like this, like you're talking about, well, that's a gray area that you can get fined for, and it just seems to me to be another case of, the law lacking behind the tech.
And then there's also the commerce angle. Amazon has talked about using delivery drones. You know, some people laugh about that, but I don't think the company's kidding. I think they'd love to do that. That's a whole other thing, because we are talking about corporations making money from this.
Right. Well, that's, you know, that's the commercial use that I think we're really, the FAA is really concerned about. And, you know, I have to think that those delivery drones specifically that Amazon's talking about are probably a little further off than they would have us believe. I mean, there's a maze of federal and state and local laws that they're going to have to deal with. And I tell you what, if you think that there's been a backlash around the few thousand people walking around with Google Glass, just wait until the public is faced with the possibility of delivery drones in their cities and on every block. I think that might take some getting used to. And I think it's cases like this one that we're seeing now involving journalists and other similar ones that will give us the first sense of how society feels about more drones in our future.
Well, Eric Mack, contributor over at CNET, Forbes, and Gizmag, kind of really fascinating video. We'll have that definitely on our website if you want to check it out again. But thank you, Eric, for joining us on Tech News Tonight. Where can people catch up with more of your work?
Well, yeah, I contribute to the Crave blog over at CNET and also to Forbes. And I'm going to be heading out your direction next month for Maker Faire for Gizmag. So also check that out. And I'm Eric C. Mack on Twitter.
Oh, good. To look for some Twit folks, because we'll be there too.
All right. Cool.
All right.
Have a good one. Thank you, Sarah.
All right. See you later. Finally, two MIT students, Jeremy Rubin and Dan Elitzer, have successfully raised more than $500,000 in order to give all 4,528 undergraduate students on campus $100 worth of Bitcoin each. The two say that the intention is to establish a genuine ecosystem for digital currencies at the university. The cash has been raised from around 25 donors, according to MIT publication The Tech, although about half of that figure will reportedly come from Alexander Morkos, co-founder of Hudson River Trading. The aim of the project is to study how Bitcoins are used by students, and supposedly there will be no limitations on what students can do with them. Silk Road 3, anybody? Just kidding. That's it for this edition of Tech News Tonight. Subscribe to the show at twit.tv/TN2 and write us at tn2@twit.tv. And don't miss our morning news show, Tech News Today, tomorrow and every weekday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. I'm Sarah Lane. Thanks for watching.
Bandwidth for Tech News Tonight is brought to you by CashFly.com.